local officials press Alaska Marine Highway System to add service in Southeast, and sea otters compete with Southeast fishermen for shellfish. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories are up next. Several communities in Southeast Alaska lost ferry service this winter when the Alaska Marine Highway System docked the MV LeConte for expensive repairs. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports that elected officials and advocacy groups in Southeast are pushing the state to deploy the MV Taslina to make up for reduced sailings.
The LeConte and the Aurora were scheduled to provide winter ferry service to several communities in Southeast Alaska this year. Both are docked while the Alaska Marine Highway System assesses repair costs for the ships. That leaves Haines and Skagway with only one ferry a week and several communities in Southeast with no ferry service over the winter. Representative Sarah Hannon of House District 33 says that is not acceptable.
We need to have something else functional while those vessels are offline. We got boats in dry dock because we've decided they're too expensive to operate or they're not ready to be in service.
The Taslina is one of two new Alaska-class ferries that aren't running right now. AMHS pulled the Taslina from service this winter in order to equip it with new side doors. The state is still negotiating the contract to complete that work. But several advocacy groups and the mayors of both Haines and Skagway think that the project should be postponed. They wrote letters to the Alaska Marine Highway System requesting that it deploy the Taslina this winter to make up for service reductions. Haines Economic Development Corporation Executive Director Margaret Friedenauer says that it's a cost-effective solution to make up for lost sailings.
And since we understand it costs less to operate than the LeConte, you know, we thought like that was a very good option for bringing the Taslina back online, delaying that capital improvement project with the doors to fill in some of the schedule left empty by the LeConte and just in the winter schedule in general.
While the Taslina could step in to serve some communities in Southeast, it can't tie up to docks in smaller communities like Angoon, Tenakee Springs, or Pelican. There are no ferry trips to those communities scheduled this winter. State Senator Jesse Kiel says he would still like AMHS to deploy the Taslina, even if it can't serve all the communities affected by service reductions.
If it's no boat or a boat to most communities, it's not a tough choice.
The Alaska Marine Highway System's budget was cut by about half this year. State Senator Jesse Kiel says that makes it difficult to mitigate disruptions in service caused by an aging fleet of ships.
The Marine Highway is trying to run on the barest of bare bones budgets and the assumption built into that budget that everything will go right. That leaves no buffer when things go wrong.
Sam Dapsevich, the public information officer for AMHS, says that officials are exploring options for service. He says the timing of the Taslina's side door project needs to be taken into account. Dapsevich says AMHS will not make any decisions about bringing ships back online until officials know the cost of the repairs for the Aurora. Those estimates are expected by November 15th. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Efforts to ease conflict over Southeast Alaska's growing sea otter population are underway. Federal and state officials recently met with scientists, fishermen, and tribal groups in Juneau to find solutions. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick has this update.
100 years ago, the fur trade wiped out sea otters in Southeast Alaska. They were reintroduced in the 1960s. And since then, they've done really well. The last official estimate shows that there are more than 25,000 of them. But their success has changed their environment. Research biologist Tim Tinker says they're a keystone species.
That means they have a bigger effect than almost any other animal for their size on their ecosystems. Many of those effects are really disruptive to the existing commercial activities like shell fisheries that have developed.
Their primary food source includes shellfish. Many of them are commercially harvested species like red sea urchin and gooey duck clams. They also eat sea cucumbers. Collectively, these are known as Southeast Alaska's dive fisheries. Last year, divers made about $12.4 million on them. Phil Doherty of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association said that when you add up all the divers, the deckhands, tenders, and processors on the slime line,
I mean, we're employing, you know, 500-600 people for 4 or 5 months. So from an economic point of view, these dive fisheries are important.
But even if federal and state managers wanted to curb the growing sea otter population, their options are limited. For one, they can't just open a hunt. The otters are covered by the Marine Mammal Protection Act. That means they can only be hunted by coastal Alaska Native people for subsistence or traditional crafts. Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Kyle Hebert says his agency has a hard job managing the region's dive fisheries.
We feel pressure from industry to elevate harvest rates to try to take advantage of those species before they're gone. We also feel pressure and criticism for not reducing our harvests because of sea otters.
After a day-long meeting in Juneau, wildlife and fisheries managers, fishing industry, and tribal representatives formed a committee to recommend ways to manage sea otters. A draft is expected by the end of the year. But that's assuming the federal government isn't shut down later this month. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Patrick Lemons says there's a looming political impasse in Washington, D.C.
If we don't have a government shutdown, we would have a report available and produced on our website sometime early in the calendar year of 2020.
The continuing conflict between fishermen and sea otters is not new, nor is it limited to Alaska. Tim Tinker, who works out of the University of California in Santa Cruz, says it's happening up and down the Pacific coast.
There's no simple solution, but I think with all the stakeholders working together and all, you know, people with different interests and different understandings of these ecosystems, I think there are solutions, but it'll be a long road.
He recently released a paper that says Southeast Alaska's carrying capacity could be 3 times the present population. That'd be around 75,000 sea otters. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Thanks for joining us. Reporting tonight came from Henry Leisha in Haines, Jacob Resnick for Coast Alaska, and Ari Snyder for KCAW.